Well, hey, we are in week 7 of our Read Me series, and this is the last week of our Read Me series. And today, what I want to do is to simply talk about how we can go forward with what we have talked about in the past 6 weeks. How do we continue to read the Bible? How do we continue to memorize Scripture? This is what Jesus said in John chapter 8, 31. He said, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. How do we continue to develop a heart for how do we continue to incorporate God's word into every single area of our lives? Now, the word incorporate is the opposite of the word segregate or segregation. Now, segregation means to separate into groups. To separate into groups. And people do this kind of thing all the time in their personal lives. People will say things like, well, I've got my personal life, and then I've got my church life. Oh, I've got my work life, and then I've got my home life. Oh, I've got my Christian life, and then I've got my social life. How in the world does that happen? It happens far too many times today because people today, men and women today, have absolutely, not all, but many men and women today, have absolutely no desire to be men or women of the Word. And to be a man or a woman of the Word, it begins with a desire. Check out Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119, there in verse 20, this is what it says. What I want most and at all times is to honor your laws. King David wrote that. And King David is saying, I want to be a man of God's Word. Whether I'm at home or I'm at work with the kids, hanging out with my friends, I want to be a man of God's Word. Now, here's my goal for today. Today, my goal is this. I want to show you how to do that. I want to show you how to do that. And there are, at least in my mind, 6 very simple steps. And if you build your life around these 6 very simple steps, they will help you. They will assist you to becoming a man of the Word, a woman of the Word. And the first thing that you have to do to become a man or a woman of the Word is, well, you've got to build on it. In other words, I must make the Bible the foundation of my life. I must make the Bible the foundation of my life. And the foundation that you have in your life determines the structure, how big the structure can get on top of that foundation. I want to build my life on the Bible. And Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And this is what Jesus says there. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. He's saying that you can build your life on the sand, or you can build your life on the solid rock, the rock of life. If you build your life on the rock of truth, if you build your life on the rock of truth, truth never, ever changes. Now, truth never changes. However, on the other side of the coin, opinions change, don't they? Opinions change all day long, but the truth never, ever changes. And let me say this. If it was truth 2,000 years ago, it's still truth today. If it was truth 2,000 years ago and still truth today, it's still going to be truth 2,000 years in the future. Truth never, ever changes. However, opinions, they change all the time, all day long. Now, if you're building your life on the rock of God's Word, You are actually building your life on something that's very, very stable, something that never, ever changes. Most people today in our culture, in society, most people build their lives on something that's unstable. And because they build their lives on something that's unstable, their lives in a crisis simply fall apart. For example, there's a lot of people today who will build their life on something like popular culture. They'll build their life on something like popular culture. They'll say, I'm just going to do what everybody else is doing. Or I'm just going to do what is popular today. And you know what? I'm going to do what's popular today. And even if it's not something that I want to do, I'm going to do it anyway because it's popular to do. But here's the problem with that kind of thinking. What's popular today isn't necessarily popular tomorrow. What's popular today isn't necessarily popular tomorrow. Whatever's really cool today isn't really cool tomorrow. And do you know what God says? This is what God says in Exodus 23:3. He says, do not follow the crowd in, do not follow the crowd in doing what, church? In doing wrong. Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. And why not? Because many times what they are doing is wrong. Now here's another unstable foundation that a lot of people build their lives on. And that is emotion. Emotion. A lot of people will build their life on emotion. They build their life on their feelings. In fact, I had a conversation just this last week with someone that I've known for years and years. I had a conversation with them about this very thing. Making decisions on your feelings. Making decisions on your emotions. Understand this. Building your life on your feelings. If it feels right, I'm going to do it. If it doesn't feel right, I'm not going to do it. You see, sometimes your feelings will tell you that everything's going hunky-dory, everything's going great, when in fact it's not. And then there are times that your feelings will tell you that, you know what, things are going absolutely awful, aren't they? They're just going awful. When in fact, things in your life are going great. You see, feelings lie. Feelings are highly unreliable. If you live your life by your feelings, you'll spend your life manipulated by your moods, manipulated by your emotions. And there's a word for that. There's a word for your life built on your moods, built on your emotions. And the word is this: immature. Immature. Wisdom and maturity, you act according to your values. Wisdom and maturity is when you act according to your convictions, according to what is right rather than according to what you feel. Look at Judges 21:25. And by the way, this scripture was written like 4,500 years ago. Judges 21:25. At the time, there was no king in Israel. At the time, there was no king in Israel. And then it says, people did what they felt like doing. It sounds like 2025, right? Sounds like 2025. People do what they feel like doing. For example, here is the world's formula for relationships. Here's the world's formula for relationships. If you want to have a happy relationship today, you first need to find the right person. The second thing you need to do is to fall in love with said right person. The third thing you need to do is to fix all of your hopes and fix all of your dreams on that right person. And then the fourth thing, if failure occurs in that relationship, if failure occurs in that relationship, you repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. That's the world's formula for relationships. Instead of finding the right person, though, we need to do something else. You see, the world's relationship, the world's way of having a relationship is different than God's way of having relationships. Here's how God talks about having a good relationship. Instead of finding the right person, you need to first become the right person. That's step one in God's formula for a right relationship. You need to first become the right person. Focus on good character worthy of marriage. Here's the second thing you do. Instead of falling in love, you need to walk in love. You see, love is a choice. I can't tell you how many times through the years people have told me, "Well, we just fell out of love. I just fell out of love with so-and-so. I just fell out of love with so-and-so. We just fell out of love." No, you didn't. You chose to fall out of love. You chose to fall out of love. You see, love is a choice. And then here's step three in God's formula. You fix your hope on God and honor God through your relationship. And then the fourth step is this. If failure does occur, you repeat steps 1, 2, and 3 of God's formula. You see, this is the difference between the world's formula for a relationship and God's formula for a relationship. You want to build your life on God's Word. Now, I got to be honest with you. I don't always like God's Word. I'm just being truthful with you right now. I don't always like God's Word. Here's something else. God's Word, at least in my life, isn't always convenient. Here's something else. When it comes to God's Word, I don't always agree with God's Word. But let me say this. If God said it, it's true. If God said it, it's true. And what we need to say to God, what we need to pray is this: I'm going to build my life, God, on the Bible. God, my life, my final authority in life will be built around your Word. Now, after you start building your life on the Bible, on God's Word, the second thing that you've got to do is that you've got to feed it. In other words, you feed yourself on God's Word. You feed yourself on God's Word. It's spiritual food. I have heard through the years people say things like, "Well, I just left church because I just wasn't getting fed." And I would investigate those sentiments, right? And come to find out, not all, but many of those people, they only feed on God's Word on a Sunday morning in church, or maybe a Saturday night if they have a Saturday night service in church. They only feed on God's Word on a Sunday. They don't continually feed on God's Word throughout the week. Now the Bible describes itself as water, as milk, as bread, as meat. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. You've got to continually feed yourself on God's Word. Feeding yourself on God's Word is not a one-and-done thing. It's not a one-and-done thing. You've got to continually feed yourself on God's Word every single day. You've got to do that. And so, how do we feed ourselves on God's Word? How do we do that? Well, here are a few things that we talked about just a few weeks ago. The first thing that you've got to do is that you've got to receive it with your ears. You have got to receive it with your ears. And how do you hear it? How do you receive it with your ears? How do you hear it? You commit to coming to church every week like you did on a crummy day like today. You commit to coming to church and hearing the preaching and the teaching. And you can also hear the Word of God by listening to Bible apps. I mean, I don't know how many of you have Bible apps on your phone. I think probably quite a few of you do. But drag out your phone, go to where you buy your Bible apps or get your free Bible apps. And guess what? Download some. And here are just a few that I have on my phone. Here are just a few. The YouVersion Bible. That's a great one. You can tell the YouVersion Bible to read the Bible to you. Not only that, but you can go to the Holy Bible. That's an app, Holy Bible. It will read the Bible to you. Here's another one, Bible Gateway. I use this a lot. It will read the Bible to you. Put an app like that on your phone. Put an app like that on your tablet, maybe on your laptop at home. Now, here's another way you can feed on God's Word. You read it with your hands and your eyes. You read it with your hands and your eyes. Why in the world do you think God gave us the Bible? Do you think God gave us the Bible just to gather dust on the bookshelf? Obvious answer is no. Not at all. And I'm about to make a statement that's going to shock some of you. Here's the statement that's going to shock some of you. Having the Bible in your house won't bless you. And some of you are freaking out right now. Can you believe what the pastor just said? Having the Bible in my house won't bless me? Exactly. Having the Bible in your house will not bless you. However, having the Bible in your heart will bless you. God doesn't necessarily want your Bible in your home. More so than anything else, He wants His Word in your heart. He wants it in your heart. You see, you've got to engage with the Bible. You've got to read the Bible for yourself. Now, here's a third thing about feeding on God's Word, and that is researching the Bible. You've got to research the Bible. You've got to talk to other people about the Bible. When Sandy and I were dating, we would talk back and forth about what the Bible said. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Now we've been married for over 25 years. She asks questions, and I'm going, wow, I never asked that question. I don't know. You know, it's like, wow, you ask really great questions. But talk to people about it. Talk to your spouse about it. Talk to your best friend about it. Talk to your kids about it, your grandkids. Talk to other people about what the Bible has to say. Write notes in your Bible. I've got a Bible that I've had for, I don't know, 40 years in my office. I've got page after page after page in that Bible with notes and notes and notes. Write notes in your Bible. It's okay. Grab a notebook. Write notes in the notebook. Put notes on your phone. I do that. I put notes on my phone as well. And here's something else. Here's something else. Get a study Bible. Get a study Bible. If you don't have a study Bible, you need a study Bible, because a study Bible will actually give you cross-references. You read 1 Peter 3:2. That cross-reference might be in Acts chapter 2, verse 3. And so you look at these verses to see how they relate and how they explain each other. Also, in a study Bible, I think virtually every single study Bible will actually have a running commentary at the bottom of the page for verses that you've just read above that running commentary. Now, not every verse has a commentary to it, but selected verses do. And so do something like that. Here's a fourth way that you can feed on God's Word, and that is to reflect on it with your mind. Reflect on it with your mind. Just reflect on it. You chew on it. Talk to yourself about it. Let me ask you this. Does anybody talk to themselves? Please raise your hand. Help me out. Yeah. I mean, we all got a little bit of crazy in us, right? We're all a little bit nuts. Isn't that right? You see, what I'm trying to get. Yes, I'm trying to get you to read a passage of Scripture and then just audibly talk to yourself about that Scripture. audibly talk to yourself about that section of Scripture. Well, what's Jesus getting at here? Or what's Paul? What's Peter trying to talk about here? Well, I don't know, Len. What's he trying to talk about? Let's read that again. And so you just talk to yourself about what you just read. Here's a fifth way to feed yourself, and that is to remember with your heart. Remember with your heart. There's a big difference between remembering with your heart and remembering with your mind. And what we're talking about here is Scripture memorization. Allow the Scripture to become a part of your soul. You absorb it into your spirit. And why does God want us to do that? Why does God want us to do that? That leads me to number one that I want you to look at, and that is you've got to live by God's Word. You've got to live by God's Word. Not only is God's Word good for your soul, but God's Word is your standard of living. God's Word sets the standard by which you evaluate your life. God's Word is the standard by which you create your values. God's Word is the standard by which you make decisions in your life. You see, God's Word is the standard that you live by. Now, if you go back in the Old Testament to Psalm chapter 1, it basically says there that blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who doesn't follow the advice of ungodly people. But men and women who are blessed are the ones who meditate on God's Word. Essentially, if you want the good life, you follow God's advice and not the world's advice. Essentially, that's it. You follow God's advice. You build your life on God's Word, on God's advice, what He thinks. I mean, we're inundated today, aren't we, with what the world thinks? I mean, just turn on your TV. Look at commercials. Commercials today on TV will tell you what the world thinks. The TV programs themselves will tell you what the world thinks. If you're a podcast person, podcasts today, most of them will tell you what the world thinks. If you go to the movies much, the movies will tell you what the world thinks. Social media. Who in here, let me ask it this way, who in here is not on social media? There's a few of you. There's a few of you who are not on, and that's a good thing. Because social media just hits you in the face all the time about what? What the world thinks. What the world believes. And the Bible says this. The Bible says if you want to be blessed by God, you don't live life the world's way. In fact, back in Psalm 119, this time verse 11, this is what it says. I have hidden your word in my heart. King David again wrote that. Why would King David hide God's word in his heart? He hid God's word in his heart that he might not, or that I might not sin against you. That I might not sin against God. That's, again, memorizing Scripture. Understand, you don't memorize Scripture just to become a goody-two-shoes little Christian. You memorize Scripture so that you might not sin against God. That's why you memorize Scripture. Did you know this? And this is hard to believe, but it's true when you stop and think about it. Jesus Himself, the Son of God Himself, God in the flesh Himself, memorized Scripture. You're going, I'm not so sure about that. Check out Matthew chapter 4. Satan himself is tempting Jesus. And in the temptations, every single time Jesus is tempted, Jesus fires a Scripture back at Satan to throw him off, to get rid of him, to get rid of that temptation. That's why we need to hide God's Word in our heart when we're tempted. And not only that, maybe a friend of ours is going through a rough time. Maybe not a rough time, but maybe a time where they're going, I don't know what to do here. Should I do this or should I do that? I don't know. That's another great time to have God's Word hidden in your heart. Because guess what? Have you noticed that many times when you need a Bible at your fingertips, you don't have it? Have you ever noticed that? Now, it's a lot easier when we have our YouVersion Bible on here or Life Bible on here. It's a lot easier that way, but man, a lot of times I'll write notes in the side of my margins. It's like, oh man, I wish I had that right now. See, that's an argument for memorizing Scripture. It helped, and God will help us recall the Scripture when we need it. That's why God wants us to memorize His Word. We live our lives by God's Word. And so to become a man of God, a woman of God, you've got to make the Bible your foundation. Build your life on it. Make the Bible your source of food. Make it your source of food that you actually feed yourself. That you actually feed yourself. Make the Bible your lifestyle. Here's a fourth way in how you can incorporate the Word into your life. Here it is. You grow through it. You grow through it. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that the Bible was referred to as a seed. And the Bible, when it's planted in our hearts, if it finds good soil in our hearts and our lives, it will grow. It will produce good fruit. It will produce good stuff that we do, okay? If we have a receptive kind of soil. Now, for that to happen, you've got to be open to God. Did you know that Jesus told a parable? Jesus told a story, if you will, in Luke chapter 8 about four different kinds of soil. He says that this farmer took some seed. I don't know what kind of seed it was, but he took some seed. He goes out and he sows this seed in this field. The seed in the field falls on four different kinds of ground. And when it falls on four different kinds of ground, it gets four different kinds of results. You see, that Jesus was talking about represents four different attitudes that people have towards God's Word. Now, the first soil that Jesus talked about represented a closed mind. And that soil was a hard soil. Some people call it a hard pan. It's just hard pan. Tough to penetrate. And sometimes we don't even give God the chance to penetrate. I mean, how many times, and people probably wouldn't admit this out loud, but how many times have people said, God, I don't want to hear what you have to say about my divorce. God, I don't want to hear what you have to say about the issue of money, the issue of greed. Oh, God, I don't want to hear what you have to say about the person I marry. God, I don't want to hear what you have to say about same-sex attraction, gay lesbian issues, dating. God, I don't want to hear what you have to say because my mind's already made up. And so what I have to cultivate an open mind. I have to cultivate an open mind. Now, the second type of soil that the farmer throws the seed on is a shallow soil. A shallow soil. That's the superficial mind. That's the superficial mind. I mean, we go to church, don't we? We go to church and we say, man, that was a good sermon today, Garrett. Oh, Pastor Jay, great sermon. Lynn, fabulous sermon. Man, I've loved this series. Fabulous stuff. We really do appreciate it. I liked it. And then by the time we walk out these doors, get out into our car in the far reaches of the parking lot, we've forgotten everything. We've just simply forgotten everything. Oh, we're excited about the message. Yes, we are. But it never, ever really penetrates the bedrock of our personality. But what if I don't want to be superficial? What if I don't want to have a superficial mind? How do I grow deeper? Here's one word for you. The word roots. Roots. And what I'm talking about here is this. I must take time for God's I must take time for God's Word. Not just a quick glance here and there, but spend some time. It takes time to grow roots. The third soil that Jesus talked about in that story, that parable, is a preoccupied mind. The preoccupied mind. This is the soil that has weeds in it. Oh, I let God's Word get into my mind. I let God's Word get into my heart. But then I let other things in life choke it out. And I have seen this a lot through the years. I get so preoccupied. And people get so preoccupied, let's say with business. Maybe they're in sales, I don't know. But they're in business, they're in sales, and they've got to make that deal. They've got to close that deal. They've got to sign that deal. We've got to merge those companies. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. And they get so preoccupied with the business that they crowd God's Word out. Or how about this issue? How about the issue of worry? Anybody want to raise their hand with me? Anybody? Am I the only one who worries in this room? Yeah. I worry, don't I? She goes, oh, yeah, you do. And then when I get past the worrying stage, I say to myself, God, I did it again. Why do I do that, God? I mean, nothing happened like I thought it was going to happen. Why do I worry about it? And Jesus talks a lot about that. You see, those kinds of things crowd God's Word out. Our issues with money, our issues with our job. Some people, they are so committed to their leisure activities, boom, they crowd God's Word out. Sandy and I used to live on a lake, Lake Raccoon, over in Park County. We did all the lake stuff, not all the lake stuff, but we did a lot of the lake stuff that everybody else did. And one thing I noticed every single Sunday during the summertime, every one of our neighbors who had a boat, guess where they were on Sunday mornings? In the boat. On the lake. Their leisure activities crowded out the Word of God. All the circuits are busy and I can't hear God. And so what's an action step with this one? An action step is this. I must eliminate the distractions. I have got to eliminate my distractions. We are just too busy, are we not? Oh, we've got plenty of time for the good things in life. We've got plenty of time for that. But do we have enough time for the best things in life? Do we have time for the most important things in life? Eliminate the distractions. Eliminate the distractions. And then Jesus said there's a fourth kind of soil, and that's the good soil. The willing mind. The willing mind. God's truth is planted in the good soil and it grows. It gets roots. And the willing mind says, God, I'm willing to learn. God, would you please teach me? Teach me as much as you can. I'm willing to learn here, God. I'm teachable. And here you just simply cooperate with what God says. Now here's a fifth way to incorporate God's Word into your life. And that is you've got to act on it. You've got to act on it. Let's go back again. We've read this several weeks in a row, or several weeks in this series, to Matthew 7:24. Matthew 7:24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. If you come to church and let it go in one ear and out the other, you are simply kidding yourself. You are simply deceiving yourself. If you don't put it into practice, what you hear and what you read isn't worth a whole lot. Now, we've devoted 7 weeks to getting into the Bible. Learning how to understand it, learning how to apply it. Are you going to be the type of person who says, man, that's been good stuff, Lynn. Man, I really appreciate everything you've done, everything you've said. Man, I appreciate all the ideas that you've given us. Man, I love it. But now, I need to get back into the real life. I hope you don't say that. I hope you say something like this. Man, that was great. I needed to hear what you had to say. Man, I stepped on my toes. It hurt, but I needed to hear it. And now I need to put it into practice. Now I need to do it. I need to build my life on it. I need to live by it. I need to grow. I need to act on it. And then finally, here's the final thing I want to give you today. You've got to trust it. You've got to trust the Bible. You've got to trust the Bible. Understand, God will never, ever lead you in the wrong direction. Oh, other people will lead you in the wrong direction. Sometimes intentionally. Other well-meaning people will lead you in the wrong direction. Maybe even some of your family who is well-meaning will lead you in the wrong direction. But God will never, ever do that. And if God tells you to go into a certain direction, you better go. I mean, you better go, because God is always going to tell you to go the right way. He's always going to tell you the best way. Now, in our wrap-up today, there are several things I want to tell that I want you to do, okay? If you haven't already started this, there are several things that I want you to do. Here's the first thing that I want you to do. I want you to memorize Scripture. And some of you have started already, I know that. But if you haven't started, start memorizing Scripture today. Don't say, oh, I'm going to start tomorrow, first of the week. I'm going to start tomorrow. No. Don't do that. Today's the first day of the week. You start today. And I'm going to give you some permission now if you want to, okay? If you want to do this, find on your phone your favorite search engine. When you find your favorite search engine, whether it be DuckDuckGo, Safari, Google, whatever it is, search out the top 10 scriptures to memorize. And then when you search out the top 10 scriptures to memorize, it'll bring up quite a few different lists. Choose a list and start memorizing those scriptures today. Today is day one to start memorizing Scripture. Today. Don't wait till tomorrow. And so today you memorize Scripture number one. Tomorrow you memorize Scripture number two, and you then review day one. Day three, you memorize Scripture number three, and you review days one and two, and so on and so on. All righty? I want you to memorize Scripture. Memorize them. And here's another thing. I want you, if you haven't done it already, I want you to start reading your Bible. Or let me put it another way. Don't stop reading your Bible. Well, Lynn, I don't know what to read. Several weeks ago, I gave you this reading plan. Well, I didn't get a reading plan. I've got one right in my hand right here you can have. We've got several, quite a few, out in our Welcome Center that you can have. I've got some in my office that I'll gladly give away. Use these reading plans. Use another reading plan if you want to. That's fine with me. I want you in the Word. Now, here's something else, a third thing that I want you to do starting today. Starting today, I want you to start a devotional plan. And with a devotional plan, you've got a ton of options. Again, go to your favorite search engine, Google Daily Devotions, search Daily Devotions, and it'll bring up a ton of devotions. It'll bring up devotions for men, for women, for children, for teens, for guys who love to fish, for guys who love hot rods, for guys who love muscle cars, for guys who love hunting, for stay-at-home moms, for people who are getting married, for people who have been married for a long time. I mean, there are devotionals coming out of the ears. Choose one and start your devotions today. Now, here are just a few of the sites that you can go to grab some devotions. Okay, ladies, here's one for you. Proverbs31.org. Ladies, Proverbs31.org. Here's another one, everybody. Bible.com. Bible.com. Here's another one. Search out My Daily Bread. I don't know what that website actually is, but search out My Daily Bread. Here's another one. Crosswalk.com. Here's another one. BibleGateway.com. There are tons of them out there. Search one out. Find one that's appealing to you and stick with it beginning today. Devotions are written by pastors, by professors, by athletes, by coaches, by people from every walk of life. A kid, well, he's not a kid anymore. He's a grown man who just retired. But at any rate, he was a kid when I was a kid at a church in Illinois. And he's retired from the forestry service. He writes a daily devotional and puts it online every single day. And he's from the forestry service. He's a follower of Jesus. And people read it every single day. You can find them out there from all walks of life, for all walks of life. Devotions, get into it. Now, let me say this. I said this a few weeks ago as well. If you read your Bible, if you study your Bible just to gain Bible knowledge, that's the wrong motivation. Oh, you'll get Bible knowledge. You'll get a big brain with a lot of Bible stuff, but you'll get a small little tiny heart as well. You see, you read your Bible in order to develop the relationship, deepen your relationship with the Lord. You see, God wants a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came down to this earth to show us what God was like. And God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you so much so that He allowed His Son to come. He allowed His Son to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. Did you know that the Bible says in the book of Romans that everyone on the face of the earth has sinned? That includes me. I'm not proud of it. I'm very ashamed of it. All of us have sinned, and Jesus came in order to pay the price, the penalty for the world's sins. And if we choose to have a relationship with Him, man, our sins are forgiven. But we've got to choose to have a relationship with Him. So I hope you have a relationship with Him. If you don't, man, I'm telling you what, I would love to talk with you about that. The Johnsons would love to talk to you about that. The Strikers would love to talk to you about that. The Halls. A number of people here would just love to talk with you about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for today. And God, we are so grateful that we have Your Word. Because God, living life today without Your Word is like living life without a parachute. We're going to cross some time without Your Word. And so God, I pray today that as we have studied Your Word, as we have reflected on Your Word over the past 7 weeks, that we will, Father, that we will become students of the Word. We'll become men and women of the Word so that we might not sin against You. God, please help us now to deepen our relationship with You through the Word, through each other, through Your Holy Spirit as well. God, bless us as we seek to deepen our relationship with You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.